You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 914. It's the 3rd of November, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Ed Dawson, CEO of Prospects Oil & Gas. That's PXOG ticker. And Ed discusses their Italian acquisition, the placing, and gives an update on their Romanian investment. Plus, I also have on John Mayer, mining analyst, award-winning, by the way, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talking about SolGold, that's S-O-L-G, Georgian Mining Corporation, GEO, and Kodal Minerals, K-O-D. Plus, Russ Mould, investment director at stockbroker AJ Bell, talks about the following stocks: Connect, that's CNCT, Alimask, ALU, and GB Group, GBG. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 3-4 hours. No surprises at the top. And the top five most liked RNSs. And I've got to say, it's had the number one, by the way, number one spot is taken up by a company who's had the record number of likes today.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ed Dawson, CEO of Prospects Oil & Gas. That's PXOG ticker. Ed, thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Thank you for asking me on.
Yeah, and you've had some interesting news out, and we will dig into that, Ed. You can dig into it and let us know what's happening there. Before we do that, for people not aware of Prospects Oil & Gas, can you give a brief summary as to what the company's all about, please?
Yeah, Prospects Oil & Gas is a AIM investment company focusing on oil and gas. We are steadily building up a portfolio of investments in Europe, primarily focused on gas. And we've just announced our third reasonably large investment, a farm in Italy.
Yeah, okay, well, let's get into that. So the title was Acquisition, Placing, and Romanian Investment Update. So let's get into the acquisition you mentioned there. Ed, what is this? Is this new? What's going on here?
Yeah, actually, can I just, I think, maybe give the background to this? It's an asset that we were first made aware of in 2015, mm-hmm. and we'd started looking at it this year, I suppose in earnest, in April of this year. We've been looking to build as I mentioned, a portfolio of interesting European gas assets, which by entering into them at a fairly late stage, pre-drilling, we think, that's a great opportunity for significant value creation for shareholders, and also looking to monetize these things relatively quickly. We're due to be drilling a well in Romania. That is about to happen still. But what that's enabled, with a couple of week delay, has enabled us to get into this opportunity here in Italy, which we would have done post well in Romania if we could. But we had to move on this one. So anyway, in detail about this asset, we're farming into a block that has got a number of the first thing that's going to be drilled is the attic of a what was producing field called Selva by Eni. The partners of Po Valley United Oil and Gas, where very comfortable with the technical work that they've done, and we think Po Valley Energy is one of the sort of few concentrated operators who can work efficiently in Italy. I don't think we could turn up today, so we're delighted to be partnered with them. As I said, this Selva produced till 85. It was shut in with really high pressure, and the CPRs that the other parties have commissioned suggest that there's 17 BCF now on a mid-case to recover from that. So relatively low-risk drill, and put it on production. Whilst it's very close to infrastructure, we still think permitting will take about a year in Italy to put it on. But again, potentially huge, big for us cash flow from that relatively quickly. But also, there were other prizes in the block. There's what we quite like is East Selva. It's something about the double the size of Selva. It's on geological trend. It's on the depositional type would mean that the volume is pretty reliable. It's geologically not something that's going to stop. So, we think it's actually, again, relatively low risk and something well worth chasing afterwards.
Yeah.
So we're excited. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is a 17% interest for how much is it costing?
We're paying effectively, it's a sort of a 2-for-1 deal, and pay 34% of the well to earn 17% of the license. It's at 1.15 something million euros.
Excellent. And that brings us into the sort of placing here. So you've raised money via placing as well, have you?
Yeah. We were asked, on several occasions, can you commit by Po Valley? And obviously, without having the money in the bank, we couldn't. So we went out to the market, and it was very well received. So, yeah, we've raised 1.6 million gross, which will go to the Italian project and a bit of general working capital as well.
Yeah, okay, cool. And as far as, I suppose you always come across, or people always put to you, other investment cases. I mean, for now, are you happy with these two, Romania and Italy? And do you still look around for other things?
I suppose the conversations I've had over the last 9 months with my professional advisors have always been around a map of Europe, and we've been largely chasing a geological feature called the Four Deep Play, and there were several dots on that map, and I've not ticked them all off yet. So we're still active, and we're keen to bring more things into the fold.
Excellent stuff. But as far as a timeline of sort of news or activity now, what can people expect next, Ed?
Yeah, the operator, Po Valley, has said the rig is going to turn up, I think, on either the 11th or 14th of November. The situation is different here than Romania, as in the rig is coming from a yard. So the timing is much more in the hands of the rig owner and the operator. So we're looking at a 30-day drill in Italy. There will be no activity, I think, on site over Christmas and New Year, followed on by some presumed testing of the well in Italy. But in Romania, as I say, once the rig operations complete on the block next door, the rig is due to demobilize there, move across country, and reset up on the Suchava block to drill the bayonet well.
Marvellous stuff. So, it's quite an exciting time for you, Ed, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, we are going to end up being, participating in three wells this year, which Certainly, okay, one was in January this year, and I think it's really good. We're putting a really high proportion of, you know, shareholders' funds into the ground, into what we consider, you know, great projects. So, I'm excited. I'm excited. I think having two wells to go at in November as well, I think that's good for the shareholders and good for the company. So I'm really pleased.
Okay, well, if anyone's listening right now, but they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, but like the sound of what you're doing here, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
We do have a strong management team with a history creating significant stakeholder value. We're doing that again here in Apostolic Oil and Gas. There are two wells coming up, which will create plenty of news flow, and I know the market and shareholders are interested in that. And you've already asked me the question, but we do have a strong business development team, and we want to, you know, keep adding to what we're doing. There's a couple more pieces in the jigsaw that I'd like to drop in.
Excellent stuff, Ed. Good to chat to you. And like I said, you know, there's a bit of activity happening before year end. So hopefully we'll speak again very soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. It's John May. All right, John?
Yes, good morning. All's going well today in the mining space?
Yeah, it is looking a lot more bullish than it was like a year and a half ago when everything was in the doldrums, wasn't it? And now it's starting to rally. Are you finding that? Obviously, what's your take on it, John, from your end?
Well, I mean, the mining sector always feels like a bit of a roller coaster, there's a lot of work going on in the sector, particularly in relation to the development of production for new future materials. Mm-hmm. And demand for, you know, the electrification of electric vehicles and all of that sort of thing. Some of the big investors are just waking up to this now. And we had a fund on the phone this morning asking us, you know, why their performance was not doing so well in relation to the rest of the market. I said, well, you know, look, guys, the mining sector is actually the place to be. Yeah. And we've been saying this for a while, but, you know, you're only just waking up to it now. And the big mining companies are doing well. It's down to the anti-pollution drive in China. It's down to the need by processors to get better quality concentrates and raw materials in, and it's all happening. And so this is very good for the mining sector, and it's excellent news for a whole range of smaller junior mining companies as well.
Yeah, it is finding that exposure. It's becoming more evident now, I think, as more governments come out and say they are abolishing, you know, petrol, diesel. I mean, people have been saying it for a while, electric vehicles are the way forward. And, of course, Tesla, for example, have been rising and saying that's the case. But I think more people are starting to believe it now. And there's a whole sort of wholesale shift towards that, isn't there? And people are even saying that, your next new car maybe is more likely to be electric. It makes more sense. The costs are coming down. So how... you've mentioned a couple of companies, but, exposure, how do you get exposure to these kind of companies that will benefit from this EV revolution, John?
Well, you can buy the big major mining companies, Rio Tinto, BHP, Glencore, and they're fine, but you're more exposed there to the bulk commodities, iron ore and aluminium. And so for us, we prefer more specific, more targeted smaller companies, things like Solgold, Kodal Minerals, just to name a couple of those, mm-hmm. where we see much higher leverage to these commodities. In Solgold's case, it's all about copper, and for Kodal Minerals, that's about lithium for the batteries for the new electric vehicles. So we do see each of these companies as relatively well targeted towards what we see as strong growth in future demand. And this week we've got, this is LME week, and a lot of the professional forecasters, the guys at Roskill and CRU, are talking about very strong demand for specific raw materials going forwards. And that's something we haven't seen before.
Yeah, and you mentioned SolGold there. I know it's had a bit of interest yesterday and also today. But so what's happening at SolGold?
Well, they made a new discovery in the south of Ecuador, some very, very high-grade copper results coming out of chip sampling in at that new project. And the great thing about those results is they're right at surface. So what we like to find is near surface copper projects because they're cheap to get into, they're easy to mine, etc., etc. Now we have to remember that Ecuador are going to have a referendum, and one of the referendum questions is going to be about mining in the country going forwards, and hopefully that will lead to the repeal of the very high super tax that they have on or windfall profits tax that they have on mining large projects in that country. So there is a bit going on there, and Ecuador is certainly probably the hottest place in the world from an exploration perspective right now.
Okay, and that's all good there. And so, and you mentioned like lithium, because I've been chatting to a couple of guys about lithium of late, and I know it's been a hot commodity for a while, but you've mentioned a couple of times you've been on Kodal. But the funny thing is, I mean, the last announcement was they said they're going to have nothing now. No basic news, maybe some drilling news, but nothing substantial until next year, because they do this bulk sampling to send to the Chinese, to China or whatever. And so that is, you know, on AIM, that's it almost a kiss of death, isn't it, for a share price, because it just goes down, because people like news every day, every week on AIM. But
I would hope that they're able to produce more regular news than once every few months, and they should be able to produce drill assays. The bulk sampling is critically important, because that goes to the Chinese processing company that's been putting money into them, and that should verify what I think the Chinese expect is that this is good quality lithium, that it's a nice material to put into their furnaces, and that is, I think they already know it. I think they just want to double check that and verify it. And they'll hopefully continue to help fund Kodal to into production. And it's not an overly expensive project, so that's what we like about it. I mean, it's a client of ours, so we know it reasonably well. And we think it's very important that they can push that into production for a relatively low capital cost compared to many other lithium projects around the world.
Yeah. But the thing is, like I said, with AIM, you know, people have invested with a short attention span. So if there's not news being churned out, the share price tends to, suffer. But this is where I think if you want to gain exposure to something like lithium, it's worth doing your research when the share price, when it is quiet, you know, rather than a lot of people chase a spike in they get some news out, exciting news, and then people start buying on that news. And then, hang on a second, when you see a small company's, you know, share price spike by like 50% or 60%, it's going to settle down a bit. So it's almost like having that discipline as an investor, just let it settle down, you know, and it is settled at the moment. And as I said, now is the time to do some research on Kodal, I think. And I've got to say, I've dipped my toe in there, John, thanks to you coming on the podcast and make me aware of Kodal, because I like the background story then. I think lithium, huge story, and it's going to be a huge story, continue to be a huge story for, at least the next 10 years, don't you think?
Well, I think that there were expectations that they would produce a resource estimate this year. They've decided that they'll do that, they'll push the date of that a bit further out, because as they carry on drilling, they'll increase the scale of that resource. So when they do that calculation, it'll be a significantly larger number. And there will be drill results that come out from that program as they progress. Mm. So it's not going to be as if there won't be any news. It's just that the big piece of news that people were looking for is just pushed out a bit, but with quite good reason.
Yeah. And of course, you mentioned SolGold. I know another favorite of yours in the copper space is Georgian Mining, isn't it? And what's any news from that camp there, John?
Well, no new news this week. We're waiting for drill results again on the copper project in Georgia. Just difficult to know exactly when they're going to come, because they have to fight for time in the joint venture partners, mm-hmm. assay lab locally, and then they have to check the results with an assay lab. I think that's in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So they have to go through what is a very rigorous process before we see the numbers. And they have to, as I say, I think they have to fight for time in the assay labs to get the results through. And the problem with this sector is as everybody gets busier on the exploration front, it does take a little bit more time for people to get the results out.
Yeah, absolutely. But as far as you're concerned, I mean, you probably would say this, but you're quite bullish on the mining sector, John, yeah?
Well, we don't always say it, but yes, we are very bullish on it right now, and it looks like the rest of the world is beginning to share our view.
Exactly. I just saw you mark this. This morning, Asian shares hit a 10-year high. On strength of the global economy, so that's good. And we know, Far Eastern Asian shares, they take a lot of take a lot of these assets, commodities, don't they? So it's obviously good for mining. John, good to speak to you, and hopefully we speak next week.
Okay, speak soon. Thanks.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Russ Mould, Investment Director at stockbroker AJ Bell. You all right, Russ?
I'm very well, Justin. How are you, my friend?
Not too bad. Any exciting plans for the weekend?
It's back to the ponies tomorrow. It's back to Ascot, I'm delighted to say. Weather looks good. But most importantly for the kids, there's a massive firework display afterwards. So I'm hoping for fireworks on the track. And they'll be looking for fireworks afterwards, so that's fine by me.
What about the horses? Are they get scared by the fireworks or not?
Oh, they'll be long gone by. No, that's a good point, because actually the last race is 4:15. The fireworks don't start until 6:30.
Oh, okay,
so there's So there's a good 2 hours for them to get all of the horses away, because you're absolutely right. There's one thing, the horses will be utterly terrified if they hear all that lot, so no. Absolutely right. There will be a big gap so they can get them all safely away.
Yeah, in 2 hours, a horse can gallop for miles in 2 hours. Got it?
They'll be doing 3 miles in about 7 or 8 minutes round Ascot tomorrow. So yeah, absolutely.
So there we are. Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, stocks. What are we looking at, Russ?
So three that we've looked at before, but it's worth doing an update on all of them. One income, one value, one momentum. So look for all different styles, a few different styles. Connect, Alomask, and GB Group.
Okay, Connect. Yes, so... let's look at the chart here. What's happening there, Russ?
Well, the chart, I mean, it hasn't got back to your magic 120p level yet, has it?
I'm looking now. Let's have a look. No, it hasn't.
Yeah,
right.
When we first talked about it, it was 140p.
Yeah, yeah.
And it basically then went top left straight down to bottom right. So I'm awfully sorry about that. Went out to 95p. But it's now back at 111. And this is one of those really frustrating stocks when you do seriously question yourself. Because when we talked about it, I said, look, it's got a massive yield and the free cash flow comfortably covers it. Mm-hmm. And that analysis has been proven correct. And it was proven correct by the full year numbers, because the company actually raised its dividend by 3%.
Yeah.
As you can tell, the stock market has not been in the slightest bit interested, and the share price has gone down anyway. Now, even the full year numbers, don't forget, this is basically... in its crudest form, a magazine and newspaper whole distributor with a parcel delivery business, which probably hasn't gone as well as they'd hoped, and that's now being reorganized. But so bears will say, look, sunset business, and look at the full year numbers: sales, operating profit, earnings per share down 3-5%. No thanks. Mm-hmm. You look at the bull case: they're restructuring the parcels business, Tufnells, and they're taking out £15 million in costs. They're selling the book business. Debt's already come rattling down because of disposal last year. Free cash flow comfortably covered the dividend, and they even raised the dividend by 3%. So you've now got a stock that is on paper, well, down at 90-odd p, was offering a yield of nearly 10%.
Yeah.
Now, normally when you look at stocks and the PE is lower than the yield, you go, Carillion, run away. Because it normally tells you the market doesn't believe the earnings forecast and it doesn't believe the dividend forecast. And clearly in Connect's case, it still doesn't. But the fact is, the debt's coming down, the cash flow's still there, the dividend went up, and I think that has persuaded a few skeptics just to have another little look. So let's see. If you're a momentum jockey, you are just not going to play. Because I don't think it is going to be a particularly rapidly growing top-line story. The costs are going to support the earnings all well and good. It's a well-run company. The balance sheet's healthy. The big question is, how long do you think the cash flow is going to last for? And it's possible that, books is going, magazines and newspapers, I suspect, will be around for longer than people think. But, will my kids ever buy a physical newspaper?
Yeah.
Not probably, truth be told.
Yeah.
So it's one of those. But I think if you are an income hunter, and income is your game, and you're not worried about the capital, because let's face it, that's what American modern retirement theory says, is the art to running your pension particularly is make sure that you've got coupons and dividends coming in that match your liabilities coming out, and then frankly the rest just doesn't matter. And I think Connect is one of the stocks that could help you with that. But if you're looking for big capital gains, then I accept you're probably going to need to look someplace else.
Yes, saying that though, right, it has jumped up since their update recently. It's a nice jump up. So you would, I mean, it looks to me, obviously never say never, but it looks to me like that we've seen the bottom here in that share price.
Fingers crossed. I mean, I think you always said if he needs to hold 120 sustainably to really get your juices flowing. You've said that a few times before. So,
I mean, last few trading sessions have been flat, but I mean, the three after that around that trading update really spiked up, and so it's consolidating a bit now. So we may see a little move north here, you never know. So
let's see. But certainly the income at the moment looks, touch wood, as you say never, but touch wood right now, looks pretty good.
Marvellous. Okay, Alumask is next.
It's a FTSE fledgling stock, 60 million market cap. And we first flagged this one, just like Connect, in February, and since then it's basically done nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just trodden water at around 180p. Remember, it's a bit of a tricky story because it was an engineering conglomerate that's now basically through acquisitions and disposals completely remodeled itself, and it's now a provider of kind of niche building products, really, so with a big focus on things like solar power, water supply, water quality, areas where there's regulation, where builders have got to toe the line so they keep the regulator happy, and also, so of course, they keep customers happy, most importantly of all. And the story's developing nicely, but again, it's one that the market's just not really quite sure of yet. So the full year figures came out mid-September. Sales up 14, exports were good, solar was good. Pre-tax profits were up 9, up to about 9 million quid, £6 million of net cash on the balance sheet, and you've got a stock on a PE of 8 with a yield of more than 4. So it does look cheap, but clearly the market's still feeling its way with a new strategy. And at the moment, clearly on the construction side, I know the Construction Purchasing Managers Index, that sort of sentiment survey, just improved a bit yesterday, but clearly people are worried about the UK economy. They are worried about building. They are worried about construction. And although Alumask has got a strong export business, I suspect that's what's holding it back. And management are just going to have to keep on delivering the numbers to show that the new strategy is right and that this is a potential value play. So again, it's not one for the momentum junkies. Deep value, you're going to have to be patient and stick around.
The chart there is nothing.
It's pretty nondescript stuff, isn't it? Really
winding up and down a little trading channel.
Exactly.
That's it. Okay, and the last one, Russ, what's that?
GB Group. So GB. this is momentum play. It's the online identity verification play. And we were just talking before we started this conference call about another stock. And one of my favourite sayings is, it's not one of mine, I can't remember who originally coined it, but I bow to them because I'm not worthy. Mm. You can have cheap stocks and good news, but not at the same time.
When we
first mentioned GB back in February, the stock had just been crushed because there'd been a big government contract slip and the stock had taken an absolute hammering down to below £3. It's now just knocking up around £4.50. So this is one that has gone right. AIM quoted, 600 on million cap now. And the numbers, yes, that contract slipped, but they hadn't lost it. It's now in chain and they've continued to deliver. And also the acquisitions they're making are bedding down quite well. So first half trading update from boss Greg Clark, relative to new boss Greg Clark. Total sales up 40, including the acquisitions, one of which was a PRA in Worcester. That's an address verification service, up 17%. Excluding acquisitions, which is very good, thank you very much, including one big licensing deal. Clark forecast operating profit of $10 million for the first half, which underpins full year numbers. And I think the 70 or 80% recurring revenues and visibility for the second half. So that's all well and good. Stock had a big pop because it's just hammering away on the growth. The question you've got is, in contrast to the other two stocks we've talked about, GB's on a PE of more than 30. So again, this isn't one for value or income seekers. It's a momentum play. And clearly the game here is, in the long run, it's in a great position. It's going to continue knocking out double-digit trend earnings growth and grow into that multiple over time.
Yeah.
So, of the three strategies, what's worked best this year across the market overall? Mm-hmm. It's been momentum. Value had a bit of a flurry in 2016, but hasn't worked particularly well this year. And even income's found it tough because there have been some big dividend cuts and accidents. Surprise, surprise, of the three styles we've just talked about, momentum, value and income, momentum's done best this year, and of the three stocks, GB has done best. And again, at the moment, that is the one that looks to have the wind in its sails. Maybe you wait for it to have a bit of a pause for breath, given it's just had a bit of a romp.
Yeah.
But if you're a momentum growth player, type person, this is probably still one that'll be on your radar.
Yeah, and like I said, because it's a growth stock and it has quite a high PE, you know, it's going to deliver. And every time it doesn't deliver, or there's a suggestion it doesn't deliver, it'll come back a bit. So I mean,
which is yeah, exactly what happened, you know, a year 16 months ago. It went down by a third or whatever it was. So you are going to be careful because you pay a high multiple for something, you've very little downside protection. You pay a low multiple for something like an Alamask and something goes wrong. Well, you've clearly built in a bit more of a margin of safety there. So it's very much what your risk, you know, but your individual risk appetite is and your particular style. Some people will love them more because the upside is good, but they are going to have to be prepared to take a few hits. Deep value, you're probably protecting your downside, but equally, you're going to have to be sometimes very, very patient for the market to come around to your point of view. If, of course, it does at all, because some stocks are cheap for a reason and then they turn into value traps, as we know, and they just sort of, you know, there's got to be a catalyst to change perception. With Alamask, it's going to be just keep on delivering on the earnings growth and Connect. It's going to be proving to people that the cash flow will continue to comfortably sustain the dividend. Both of those arguments are going to take some time.
Marvellous. Russ, have a nice day.
You have a lovely weekend.
And we'll speak next week.
I look forward to it. Take care, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. It's always there. The last couple of weeks been there a lot. Greatland Gold, GGP. At four, Herencia. I don't know how you pronounce it. Resources, HER. At three, Thor Mining, THR. At two, Hydrodeck, HYR. In fact, we covered Hydrodeck and Thor with Nicola Duke on the podcast earlier, the charts of those companies. And number one, most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 3 hours was Ascent Resources, AST. All right, that leads me on to the next bit of news. Top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets platform in the last 3 hours were as follows. We discussed them with John. At five, Kodal Minerals, KOD, completion of Sui Chin subscription agreement. Sui Chin, I don't know, Sui Chin? Sweden, yeah. It was Chinese subscription agreement anyway, Kodal. At four, it's Premier African Minerals, PREM, Casa Intersex High Grade Mineralization. At three, again, someone did say, I think it's the same RNS, different titles. Premier African Minerals, PREM, Drilling and Production Report. I don't know if it is though. At two, it's URU Metals, acid leach test work results at Zebedila. And number one, most liked RNS. And the most liked RNS of all time, I think it was, on the platform, is from Ascent Resources, of course, and the commencement of that export gas production to ENA. And that signature's been waiting for a long time. It's been delayed and people are waiting for it. But now they can start exporting the gas. So that's excellent stuff. Well done, Colin, and the team there at Ascent Resources AST. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.